to the book of Galatians, chapter 2. Galatians, chapter 2. Want to share with you for a few minutes this morning about what is faith. What is faith? Not where is faith. I'm going to have written on my tombstone, where is faith? Because 100 times a day I come barreling out of my office door saying, where's Pastor Faith? So it's not where is faith, what is faith? Galatians chapter 2, going to start reading in verse 15. If I haven't met you, my name is Glenn. I'm the lead pastor here at Harvest Time, and we're thrilled that you're here with us this morning. And if we've never had a chance to meet you, shake your hand, and learn your name, we'd love to meet you in the reception room right across the foyer on this side of the sanctuary after the service. And we'd love just the opportunity to meet you for just a moment. In the month of July, our family has the privilege of going all together to India. I've been to India several times, and my son has been with me, but all five of us are going. And we're going to be visiting the girls that are at Pastor Solomon's rescue home, and also the girls that are at Koshi Baby's rescue home, Pastor Koshi Baby. These are girls, some of them as young as 6 years old, 8 years old, six all the way up to 16, who were in slavery, in sex trafficking. They've been rescued. Some of these little tiny girls were made to please men, as many as 10 or more adult men every day. And they've been rescued. And so we're going to go and just spend time with the girls. And when I was there last fall, I was at Koshi Baby's home. And one of the little girls showed me this rickety old bookcase with a dozen or two books on it, and she said to me, look at all the lovely books that we have. And something happened in my heart, and I said, I want to fill every wall of this room with books for these little girls to read and to enjoy. They come from backgrounds where they've never had anything of their own. And so we're going, and we have room in our suitcase to take along some things for girls in both of these homes. I asked Solomon and I asked Pastor Koshi Baby, what do these girls enjoy? What do they like? And he said they love coloring books. They love activity books. They love crafts. They love games. They can't be very big items, but we have an extra suitcase we're going to take with us, and we're going to take some things. There's about 20 to 30 girls in each one of these two homes, and we'd like to take some smaller size books that a young girl would enjoy. They're all very proficient in English. And so on the welcome desks on either side of the main entrance and over at the Kids Connect desk, there's a little sheet with some ideas. And we only have 2 weeks before our trip, but maybe you'd like to bring some things, and we can take some blessings to those girls, and we can add to their collection of lovely books and some things for them to enjoy. Is that an okay thing to ask you to be part of with us? Look with us in Galatians chapter 2. Going to start reading in verse 15. Let's talk for a minute or two about what is faith. Galatians chapter 2, starting in verse 15. St. Paul writes, "We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified." Look at verse 20 with me. Paul writes, "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." And look at his words. "The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Lord, I thank you for this morning. Father, I thank you for the people you love so much. Thank you for your presence with us. Father, I pray that you would, by the Holy Spirit, speak the heart language of each person here, and that we would each hear a word from you today. If your heart agrees, would you say amen and amen? So a hiker was walking along a very narrow trail when he lost his footing. He started to slide out of control down a very steep rock face until he managed to grab a hold of a gnarly root growing out of a crag. He looked up and the trail was more than 50 feet above him. He looked down and there was a deep ravine hundreds of feet below him. Overcome with panic, he started to call out, "Help me! Help me!" But there was no answer. Again and again, he called out, but there was only silence. Finally, he yelled out, "Is anybody up there?" Suddenly, a deep voice rumbled, "Yes, I am up here." The man said, "Who are you?" The voice replied, "It's the Lord." The man said, "Lord, you know I'm not really a man of faith, but could you please help me?" The Lord replied, "Yes, I can help you. Just let go." The man said, "What?" The Lord repeated, "Just let go and I'll catch you." The man said, "Lord, are you sure?" The Lord replied, "I'm sure. Just let go." The man thought about it for a moment and then he yelled, "Is there anybody else up there?" Right now, we're sharing some thoughts with you called HTC 4. As a church, what on earth are we here for? For what purpose did God call HTC into existence? What work does God have for us to do here in Greenwich, Connecticut, and in this region? What do we stand for? What value are we here to add to people's lives? One thing we're here for is fire. When the Lord called Pastor Ray and Patty Tate to Harvest Time in 1983, he called them to plant a spirit-filled church, a place where people can experience the fire of the Holy Spirit. By the way, for those of you who know our founding pastor, Pastor Ray, he and Patty are retiring from the ministry this coming Sunday. We're going to be in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. We've been asked to speak at Pastor's retirement celebration, 40 years that he's been in full-time ministry. He said, "I'm not retiring from ministry. I just am retiring from senior pastoring after 40 years. And maybe some of you who know him would like to send along a card just congratulating Pastor and expressing your love and your thanks. We are who we are because of Pastor Ray and Patty and because of their faith starting this church in 1983. And if you'd like to send a card into the office or drop it off, we're going to take that with us to Point Pleasant next week. We're here for fire. On Father's Day last Sunday, we shared another thing that we're here for is family. We're here to be a family, and we're here to help families grow stronger. And another thing we're here for is faith. We're here to be a place where people can catch faith. We're here to be a place where people can grow in their faith and can exercise their faith. Looking at St. Paul's words, I find a few thoughts this morning about what is faith. And I want to share them with you quickly. What is faith? A few thoughts from Galatians 2. On your way in, you received an outline of today's sermon. And if you like, you can listen along, watch the screens, fill in the blanks, and follow that way if you like. What is faith? A few thoughts from Galatians 2. Number one, faith is a gift from God. Faith is a gift from God. Beloved, not everyone has faith. St. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, "Pray for us that we might be delivered from evil and wicked men, for not everyone has faith." Not everyone believes in God. Not everyone believes that Jesus is Lord. Not everyone believes in the coming judgment and in heaven and in hell. Actually, those who don't believe can't believe. Paul said that the God of this age, that is Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they're unable to see the truth about Jesus. Do you know that is the state of every one of us unless and until God makes his light to shine in our hearts so that we can understand the truth about Jesus. Faith has a beginning in our hearts. Faith comes to us, the Bible says, and it's sent to us from God. Faith is not something that you have managed to manufacture while some other people out there have not. Faith is not a human virtue that you possess while some others don't. Faith is a divine gift from God above. If you have faith, you don't have it because you already had it. You don't have it because you chose to have it. You don't have it because you worked to acquire it. You have it only because God gave it to you. St. Paul wrote, "It is by grace that we are saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God." What is the gift of God? Both his grace and the saving faith that secured it. Paul wrote to the Philippians, "It has been granted to you to believe on Jesus Christ." You see, if we believe this morning, it's because God has let us believe. One place we catch faith is from the Bible, the Word of God. Paul wrote, "Now faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God." Beloved, listen, faith is not just believing any old thing. Faith is believing the right things about God and about his Son, Jesus Christ. Faith has proper content. Faith is in Christ. He is the object of our faith. He is the substance of our faith. He is the key to everything we know about God, and he is the key to knowing God. Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father, no one knows the Father except through me." Faith is to have confidence in Christ. It's to put my trust in Christ. It's to say, "All right, Lord, I'm going to let go, and I trust you to catch me." You know, in order to do that, I have to know something good about him, even if it's just the littlest bit. I have to have some basis to expect that he means to do me good and that he can. Another place that we catch faith is from people who have faith. Beloved, I want to tell you, faith is supernaturally contagious. People who have caught faith spread it to others with their mouths. They spread it to others by talking about God and their faith in him. They spread faith by being used as God's mouthpieces. The Holy Spirit comes and he inspires the words of our mouth so that we say something that speaks directly to somebody's heart and touches them in a deep place. People who have faith, who have caught faith, they spread it with their hands. They spread it by serving others in love. They spread it literally by laying their hands on others and praying for them. Do you know that faith really is deposited in other people that way? Faith is viral. I want to warn you this morning, you are in a room full of infected, highly contagious people. If you haven't caught faith already, I want to tell you, you are at high risk of catching faith this morning before you leave this place. On his second missionary journey, God spoke to Paul in a dream, and he called him from Turkey over to the Greek city of Philippi. When Paul arrived in Philippi, he went searching on a riverbank for a little Jewish prayer group. Sure enough, he found such a group, and he began sharing the good news about Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. One of the women in the group was a successful businesswoman named Lydia. Even though she wasn't Jewish herself, the Bible says she was a worshiper of God. And Acts chapter 16, verse 14 says, "The Lord opened Lydia's heart and enabled her to believe Paul's message." Verse 15 calls that response believing. Actually, there's an important lesson in Lydia's conversion. Beloved, no matter how much effort we might ever put into seeking God, we could never, ever find him unless God takes the initiative to reveal himself to us and then gives us the faith to believe. Lydia was what we would call today a spiritual seeker. She sincerely wanted to know the true God. She sincerely wanted to worship the true God. But Lydia would have never found God if God hadn't taken the initiative to knock Paul off of his high horse on the Damascus Road 20 years before that. Lydia would have never found God if God hadn't taken the initiative to speak to Paul in a dream and call him over to Philippi. It turns out that the Macedonian man in Paul's vision was a woman named Lydia. Lydia would have never found God if God hadn't sent Paul out on that riverbank searching for her. Lydia would have never found God if God hadn't given Paul a message to preach and an anointing to preach it. Lydia would have never found God if God hadn't opened her heart in that moment and enabled her to believe. For by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God. What is the gift? Both the grace and the faith that secured it. That's good right there. Since faith is God's divine gift, we should be humble. You know, among those of us who have faith, sometimes there's a tendency towards spiritual pride. We're tempted to believe that somehow we must have deserved salvation. We want to believe that God must have seen something in us, that he must have seen some quality of heart, that he must have seen some inner virtue, some spiritual desire, and that explains why we have come to faith and others have not. But you know, the scripture doesn't let us get away with that. The story of Lydia shows us that when it comes to faith, we bring absolutely nothing to God's table. The best of our efforts to find him aren't enough unless God acts to reveal himself, and unless he enables us to respond to him, there would be no faith. That's why Paul wrote to the Romans, "Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. It is God who has distributed your faith to you." Since faith is God's divine gift, we should be humble and we should also be deeply grateful. Think about it. What great thing has God done that you and I should be here in this place worshiping him this morning? What has God done that we, out of all people on the earth, are believers in Jesus Christ? What has God done that we, out of all people, have been justified by Jesus' blood, that we, out of all people, are sanctified by the cleansing work of the Holy Spirit? What has God done that we, out of all people, are members of God's family, the church, and incorporated into the body of Christ? What has God done that we, out of all people, are heirs of eternal life? Even as a very old man, John couldn't get over the awe and the wonder and the beauty of it all. He said, "Look at this. What kind of love is this that we should be called the sons and daughters of the Most High God?" What is faith? Thank you for that golf clap this morning. What is faith? A few thoughts from Galatians chapter 2. Faith is God's gift to us. So here's a follow-up thought. Secondly, faith is the opposite of self-reliance. Faith is the opposite of self-reliance. St. Paul wrote, "We know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus, so we too have put our faith in him." Can I tell you that all of us have a tendency towards self-reliance and self-righteousness? Because of our fallen human nature, we're all inclined to believe that we can do it better on our own. In the beginning, Adam and Eve bought the lie that they could survive, even thrive, independently of God, and humankind have believed that lie ever since. The human heart is incorrigibly proud by nature. Anybody who's ever raised a toddler or a teenager knows that to be true. I'll do it myself. Can I tell you that even religion is rooted in human pride? Religion is people's attempts to fix themselves. It's people's attempts to show themselves worthy of heaven. Here's the irony. People do all these acts of religious piety, and on the face of it, it all appears very humble. People fast, and they recite prayers. They do penance. They deny themselves certain comforts. They do acts of service. They make great sacrifices, giving their time, giving their financial resources. But can I tell you that all of it is really just a mask for pride? True faith is not a religion. True faith is a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. There was once a bright young Christian man. He was an aspiring law student. He was walking through a field on a summer day when he was overtaken by a violent summer storm, and he was knocked to the ground when a lightning bolt struck nearby him. He was so shaken up by that experience that, much to his father's dismay, he quit law school and he became a Catholic monk. And not just any monk, he joined an extremely ascetic sect, and he became the most ascetic of all of them. He awoke at 3 o'clock every morning to pray and to repent for his sins. He literally whipped himself bloody. He starved himself half to death. He deprived himself of light and heat. He slept in the winter cold with no blankets. But all of his penance brought him no peace. In fact, he wrote that he began to resent God deeply. He went on a pilgrimage to the Vatican in Rome, and as an act of devotion, he decided to climb the Scala Sancta. That's a set of white marble steps that lead to the private chapel of the early popes. According to church tradition, Jesus climbed those steps on his way to be tried by Pilate. They were moved from Jerusalem to Rome in the 4th century by Emperor Constantine's mother. And this young monk spent hours on his knees climbing the steps and reciting prayers over and over again all the way. When he finally reached the very top step, he said a thought floated through his mind. It was a single line of scripture. How many of you know that one word from heaven can change everything? I tell you what, I got a word from the Lord a couple weeks ago on a Friday night that has changed everything. It has rocked my world, and this fall it's going to rock your world, all right? I'm just telling you. A single line from heaven floated through his mind, "The just shall live by faith." The monk's name was Martin Luther, and the revelation that he had on the Sancta Scala was the beginning of the biggest revolution in the church since the day of Pentecost. The just shall live by faith, because no one can be justified by works of the law. No one can earn his or her salvation by any means. Can I tell you, it's highly unlikely that we will ever resort to the extremes of young Martin Luther, but I want to tell you, none of us is immune to the same spiritual pride that drove him. None of us is immune from the temptation to believe that in some little itty-bitty way, we deserved our salvation because of our deep devotion to Christ, because of our superior morals, because of our outstanding service, because of our giving, because of our missions endeavors. the great New Testament scholar who is also a Pentecostal, Gordon Fee, said, "Do I secretly hold on to the notion that God is just a little bit fortunate to have me on his side?" Beloved, faith and self-reliance are mutually exclusive. They're polar opposites. Faith and self-vindication are diametrically opposed. Instead of saying, "I'll do it myself," faith admits, "No, I can't do it myself." Faith admits my spiritual neediness. It acknowledges my spiritual helplessness. Jesus called this poverty of spirit, the inner realization that I bring absolutely nothing to God's table. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they and they alone shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Faith is the recognition that I'm sinful and that God has provided for my forgiveness through Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. Faith is putting my trust in the sacrifice of Christ alone for my salvation. Faith is surrendering my will in response to God. You see, all of us have that tendency hanging from a gnarly root on a cliff to listen and not like what we hear and then reply, "Is there anybody else up there?" Faith is finally conceding that God is right. After enduring plague after plague after plague, the Pharaoh of Egypt finally confessed, "The Lord is in the right and I am in the wrong." Faith is relinquishing my independence. It's surrendering my autonomy. It's submitting fully to Jesus' leadership in my life. Faith produces allegiance and obedience to him. Faith is Peter and Andrew and James and John leaving their nets behind and following Jesus. I always felt sorry for poor Zebedee. They left their dad all scumbaddy alone in the boat and followed Jesus. Faith is Matthew leaving his tax booth and following Jesus. Faith is greedy little Zacchaeus forfeiting his entire fortune and following Jesus, something the self-righteous rich young ruler was unwilling to do. Faith is the blind man leaving his begging cloak behind and following Jesus on his way. Now listen, that doesn't mean quit your day job. It simply means leave behind your old way of life and follow Jesus in a new life. And faith remains constant throughout our whole life on earth. Paul said that our Christian life is from faith to faith. It begins in faith, it carries on in faith, and it finishes strong in faith. I have been crucified with Christ, and the life I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What is faith? A few thoughts from Galatians 2. Gotta hurry. Faith is a gift from God. Faith is the opposite of self-reliance. Number three, faith comes, I like this one, faith comes in measures. Faith comes in measures. Beloved, even though we all receive faith from the same source, we don't all receive from him the same portion. We don't all possess the same measure of faith. Jesus commended a Gentile mother and a Roman military officer for having greater faith than any other Jew in Israel at the time. Jesus chided his disciples for having too little faith based on all the revelation they had received from him. Some people's faith suffers from arrested development. Based on all the opportunity they've had to grow in faith, they should be further along than they are. Some people's faith is weak and faltering. Some people's faith is growing. Some have made a shipwreck of their faith, Paul writes. The Spirit clearly says in the last days, some will abandon the faith, following knowledge falsely so-called. They'll depart from the faith. Some have denied the faith. Some have destroyed the faith of others. I'm absolutely persuaded that there's nothing you or I could do to get faith starting out, but there's definitely a lot we can do to add to our faith. Just like your life here on planet Earth, you had absolutely nothing to do with your arrival here. That was between your father, your mother, and God. By the way, people make mistakes, but God never does. If you're here, it's because God planned for you to be here, and he granted you your life. It's his breath in your lungs. You didn't have anything to do with the origin of your life, but listen, you have everything to do with the outcomes of your life. And that's just like your faith. You didn't do anything to get it, but it's up to you to keep it and to nurture it. Use it or lose it. Neglect it or build it. How do we build it? Through the Word of God. Through prayer. Ask Jesus to give you more faith. Through praying in the Spirit. Praying in your spiritual language. Jude says, we build ourselves up in our faith. Peter wrote, make every effort to add to your faith. Jude wrote, build yourself up in the faith. Hebrews says, hold firmly to the faith. James says, patiently endure the testing of your faith. Paul said, continue in your faith. Guard your faith. Keep hold of the deep truths of the faith. Fight for your faith. Be sound in faith. Strengthen your faith. Grow in your faith more and more. Be nourished in the truths of the faith. Supply what is lacking in your faith. Pursue faith. Keep the faith. Spread the faith. Have faith in God. What is faith? I'm going to give you two more quick, and we're done. Two more very quickly, and we're done. Number four, I like this one because it's so true. This is my life. Faith is messy. Can I tell you that's the reason that people prefer self-reliance? Beloved, listen to me. Listen well. Faith is not neat and tidy. Faith is not well-organized. It's not orderly. It's not self-confident. Faith is not self-sufficient. Faith is not, don't worry, I've got this. Faith is, help! Is there anybody up there? Faith is not, this is good preaching. This is the tweetable line of the day right here. Faith is not human ability showcased. It is human weakness exposed. Faith is vulnerable. Faith is needy. Faith is helpless. Faith is childlike. Faith is dependent. Faith is desperate. Faith is unanticipated predicaments. It's unforeseen tragedies. Faith is dire straits. Faith is impossible situations. Faith is a pleading father on his knees in the sand. Jesus, my little daughter is dying. Come and put your hand on her. Faith is a bleeding woman having spent all she had on doctors and having gotten no better, but having gotten worse and having heard about Jesus, pushed her way through the crowd and snuck up behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Faith is a life-threatening storm at sea. Lord, don't you care if we perish? Faith is 5,000 hungry men and women and nothing to feed them but 5 dinner rolls and 2 sardines. Faith is a tax bill due and a coin in a fish's mouth. Faith is creatively determined. Faith is 4 men carrying their friend on a stretcher, and when they can't get near the door, they find an outdoor staircase and tear a hole through the roof. Faith is the mother of a demonized girl refusing to take no for an answer from Jesus and thinking fast on her feet, saying, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. Faith is a Roman officer thinking twice about sending some friends to put in a good word about him and instead pleading to Jesus, Lord, I'm not willing that you should come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant shall be healed. faith is a forgiven woman crashing a dinner party because she heard Jesus was there and she just had to bring a gift to say thank you to him. Faith is a blind man shouting at the top of his lungs, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when they told him to be quiet, he shouted even louder. Faith is grandfathered building approvals that were about to expire in 2014 irrevocably, and a $24.5 million building to build and $500,000 in our hands. Faith is a folder full of invoices on Ethel's desk waiting to be paid and nothing left in the building fund to pay them just now. Yes, I would say that faith is very messy. But you know, that's okay, because there's one final thing I've learned about faith. Pastor Nick, come and help me, rescue me, help me finish. What is faith? Few thoughts from Galatians 2. Faith is a gift. If you have it, you have it because God gave it to you. Faith is the opposite of self-reliance. Faith comes in measures. Faith is messy. But here's one more thing I've learned about faith. Faith is very powerful, even just a little bit. Faith is very powerful, even just a little bit. Do you remember what Jesus said about faith? He said, if you have even the smallest amount of faith, even an amount so tiny as a mustard seed. You ever seen how little a mustard seed is? That's one in that man's fingers. Even if you have the tiniest amount of faith, you'll say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. And then Jesus added the word, listen to me, nothing shall be impossible for you. Do you know how I like to read those words? Nothing shall be impossible. Beloved, when God has called you to faith and you call out to him in faith, it is impossible for nothing to happen. When you cry out to him, when you call his name, when you say, is anybody up there? It's impossible for nothing to happen. It's impossible for things to stay stuck. It's impossible for you to stay hurting or to stay frustrated or to stay in a mess. Nothing is impossible with God. It is not possible for God to do nothing. When you call on him, something has to move. Something has to happen. Something has to give way. Listen, I feel from the Holy Spirit, I have a word for someone in this house this morning. You're in a situation that is at an impasse. Nothing is moving. The way is blocked. There's been no forward progress. You've been stuck in a situation where it is. He received the word of the Lord this morning. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. It's not possible for nothing to happen. It's not possible for this situation to stay the way it is. Everything is possible for those who believe. Oh yes, I've learned that faith is very messy. Faith operates in the realm of circumstances that are far beyond our control, but I've also learned that faith is very powerful, even just a little bit. This $24.5 million building, it didn't cost us $24.5 million, it cost us $13 million. Truly, only the Lord knows how. Come on, y'all. And God isn't finished with his miracles just yet. Can I tell you a quick story about the shades? It's not in my notes, but can I tell you the story? I don't know whether you've noticed, but certain time of the year, we're finding we have a little issue with the skylight here. And everybody sitting over here off to my right said, amen. So when we designed this building, there's shades that were designed for the skylight to kind of work as louvers. And we didn't put the shades in because the cost to put them in was $250,000. All right, nothing in this building. Every time they tell me something, I'm like, why can't anything in this building cost like $1,000 or $5,000? So do you see these shades? We paid $50,000 for these shades and these shades. And they made a mistake. They made a mistake when they sent these shades. They measured wrong. I learned from a carpenter, measure twice, cut once, all right? So they measured once and they cut once and they made them too short. So they came and installed them and they don't come all the way down the way they're supposed to. So they said, well, we're going to order you a replacement set. And so they ordered us a replacement set and we've been waiting. This is the stuff that happens. If you ever wonder what I do Monday through Friday, this is what I do, okay? So I don't just work on Sunday mornings. So this is the stuff we deal with. So they ordered a replacement set and they sent it to a UPS depot in Boston and they lost them. So we've been waiting for weeks for the replacement shades. That they ordered another set of replacement shades and came this last week to install them. And when they ordered set number two, they ordered them longer. When they ordered set number three, they ordered them the original dimensions. So they came to install them. I'm like, you have got to be joking me, right? You got to be kidding me. But then Pastor Faith, who is always fast on her feet, said, I wonder if they would give us the fabric. So we asked them, gee, what are you going to do with the old shades? And they said, we can't do anything. They said, can we have them? They said, sure, you can have them. So guess what? We now have enough shades to put the shade on the skylight for free. Oh yes, I've learned that faith is very messy. But beloved, listen to me, please. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Faith is very powerful, even just a little bit. Would you stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big huge praise in this place this morning? Oh, come on, we can do better than that. Would you give him a good praise? Caleb and Kayla, you're awesome. Come on, lead us. Whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Lift up your faces, lift up your hands, lift up your voices. Sing this chorus with us. There's a place for me. I'm a child. Oh, come on, give the Lord a good praise in this place today. Give him a good praise today. I want to ask you to bow your heads for just one moment this morning. We're going to dismiss with a prayer, and as soon as we do, if you're new to Harvest Time, I'd love to meet you in the reception room across the foyer. Our prayer teams, our pastors, and our prayer teams are going to come. They're going to be right here in the front. And if you need some prayer today, we're going to be happy to pray with you about whatever your need is. There's coffee downstairs. Hope you'll stop. Israel interest meeting. Israel's going to be good. Listen, we have a lot of people from outside Harvest Time who want to go to Israel, and I want to give first crack at our family. So if you want to go, come to the interest meeting. But this is what I want to ask you while your heads are bowed this morning. Do you have a messy situation in your life? Maybe it's in your health. Maybe it's in your relationships. Maybe it's in your finances. Maybe it's in your workplace. And do you need just a little bit more faith today? I felt in my spirit while I was back in my office just before I came out that there's someone here today, and you asked the question, is anybody up there, but you didn't like the answer. You didn't like what you heard back from the Word of God. And you're wondering, is there anybody else up there? There isn't anybody else up there. Do you need a little more faith? Do you need faith or a little more faith? There was a desperate father whose son was deeply troubled, demonized. He came to Jesus and he said, Lord, please help my son if you can. This was Jesus' Bronx moment in the Gospels. He went all projects on the man. He said, if I can. Thinking fast, the father said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I wonder maybe if we should make that our prayer today. If you need faith or you need a little more faith, maybe we can make his prayer our prayer. Would you lift up your face to the Lord? Would you lift up your hands to heaven? Listen, if you haven't given your heart to Jesus, the Bible says to leave your nets, leave your tax booth, leave your begging cloak, leave behind your old way of life, turn from your old way of life. And believe on him today. The Bible says he's not far from any one of us. All we need to do is call out that name in faith, and he'll come to us. Lift up your faces, lift up your hands. Would you pray that Father's prayer with me today? Let's pray it. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Come on, that's good right there. Lift up your hands. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief in Jesus' name. Let me pray for you, Father. Thank you for your precious, precious people that you love so much. Every person that's in this place today is here because you meant him or her to be here. Father, I pray that you would grow our faith. Pray that you'd give us the gift of faith. I pray as we've heard your word that our faith will have grown, strengthened, Lord. Father, for every messy situation represented by every uplifted hand in this room, Father, we pray that you would increase our faith, Lord, to believe you. Lord, it's impossible for you to do nothing. It's impossible for you not to intervene. It's impossible for you not to bring change. Father, we believe. Come on, would you just say it? Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe in Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord one more great big praise in this place today. God bless you, everyone. If you're new, I'd love to meet you in the reception room. Israel Interest Meeting is downstairs. Have some coffee. Be blessed. The Lord be with you until we come together again. God bless you.